All right, let's turn to the book of Matthew in chapter number 24. And you know, we're just, you might say, plodding through the book of Matthew. And we've been on it for several messages now, and we're just going verse by verse. And so we're in the middle of what's known as the Olivet Discourse. And you know, the great thing about coming to church is you get to sing praises to the Lord. And you know, we sang Love Lifted Me, and we can be thankful for that. We can worship the Lord through His Word, whether it's reading the Word, whether you're praying the Word. And now we're going to preach the Word and study the Word together. And the Word of God is beneficial. It builds up our faith. And I can remember in my early days of learning to walk with Christ, I can remember some passages that really helped me in my walk with faith. And one of them was an understanding of some prophecies that were given in the Old Testament and were fulfilled, and we were able to see that. And so as we're studying some passages of Scripture that might be a little more difficult, it can build your faith because you learn the truth of the Word of God. And so we're in this Olivet Discourse, and for the last couple of weeks we've been talking about that. And this is Jesus sitting down with His 12 apostles as He's, you know, in His last week of life. And He has just cleansed the temple. The Bible says that the Jews have rejected Him, and more or less He has let His rejection of them be known. And He's told the Jews that your house is going to be left unto you desolate, and there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And so now He's sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the apostles ask Him a question in verse number 3 of Matthew 24. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And so they anticipated that Jesus setting up His millennial kingdom was going to happen soon. What they were not aware of is there is a time known as the time of the Gentiles. And so Jesus is going to begin to enlighten them with what's going to happen in the last days. And last week we talked about the general condition of the experience of man. And this week Jesus is going to get into the days right before His return, right before He establishes His millennial reign. And He's going to explain some things to His apostles, and that's what we're going to look at today. But one of the things that lots of people don't understand is most people have no understanding of God's knowledge. They have no concept of what Acts 15:18 tells us, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world." They have no knowledge that God knows all things. Before He even spoke this world into existence, He knew everything that would ever happen. People have no idea that God has determined all things through His counsels and that He is sovereign over all things. Also, people don't understand that God does not change. That attribute is known that He is immutable. He doesn't gain knowledge. He doesn't gain strength. He cannot be added to. He cannot be subtracted from. What God is, He has always been. Whether it be strength, whether it be knowledge, people don't grasp that about God. But today we're going to begin to see that Jesus is going to give His disciples some insight into the things that's going to happen in the last days. And the reason that Jesus can do that is because He knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. And since He knows all things, He is able to reveal them. And He has chosen to reveal them to us in His Word. And so, the things that are known belong to us, but the things that are hidden belong to God. And so God has revealed to us His will for this world. So He's going to tell us about the abomination of desolation. He's going to tell us about the days of tribulation. He's going to tell us about what's going to happen in the last days. And so one of the reasons that we have His Word is that His Word is one of the ways that God has chosen to reveal to us what's going to happen. Now, one of the ways that He did that was that He spoke through men. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And in that, God moved a man by the name of Daniel to talk about 70 weeks that are determined upon the people of the holy city. And Andrew read a little bit for you from Daniel chapter number 9. And if you want to, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Daniel chapter number 9, because we're going to read from Matthew 24 and Daniel chapter number 9. So Jesus has revealed that 70 weeks are determined upon the people of the holy city. And then, not only did He speak through Daniel, but we know that He spoke through John the Apostle. About 90 AD, John the Apostle spoke the revelation that came from God. And in, contained in all of those things, the prophecy of Daniel and John's prophecy, which we know as the book of Revelation, God has revealed to us what's going to happen upon this earth. And so Jesus, in our text today in Matthew 24, is going to give insight to His apostles about that time. He's going to explain to them, give them a general overview of what's going to happen in the end of time. Now, let's remember something. The book of Revelation, we would all think, well, we know what happens in the book of Revelation. We could go to the book of Revelation and read and see how Jesus becomes the Messiah. But let's remember, at the time that Jesus is speaking these words on the Mount of Olives, this is 60 years before John was given the book of Revelation. So what happens in the book of Revelation, the apostles have no concept of. They could go back to the book of Daniel and they could read that. They could go back to the book of Zechariah and they could read that. They could read all of the Old Testament prophets and what they said about the things to come. But they would have no concept of the book of Revelation, because it's going to be another 60 years before God gives that to John the Revelator. So here we come to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read verses 15 through 31. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to stop right there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your revealed word. We thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word. And as we learn your word today, we pray that it would build our faith to trust in you as you reveal to us your divine will and purposes. God, if there's one here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we pray that they would come to an understanding of their sin and that they would repent and they would believe. Draw them under yourself, we pray. And we thank you that we can worship you in the truth of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we always want to think about the need for redemption. We get to this passage of Scripture, and we look at this passage of Scripture, and we understand that God is going to restore the creation like it was in the Garden of Eden. That's in the future. But we also know that there's a reason for the need for redemption, and that is the fall of men. Man sinned in the fall, and because he sinned, creation was ruined, and death passed upon all men. But Jesus came to earth bearing the curse of sin so that God could justify his people. Men were separated from God by the fall, but through Jesus Christ, those who trust in him can enjoy fellowship with the Father once again. And so that's the need for this passage. How is God going to restore creation back to its original glory? How is God going to deal with sin in the fall? How is God going to deal with man's rejection of him? How is God going to bring judgment upon sin? That's what we find here. But ultimately, we know that eternal life is going to come to his people when they follow him and his kingdom forever. But if you notice there in verse number 15, again, this is the Olivet Discourse. All of Matthew 24 is one sermon by Jesus. His apostles were sitting on the Mount of Olives, and they asked those questions that tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of this coming and the end of the world. And Jesus is going to tell them that. And all of Matthew 24 is Jesus giving them that insight. And we're not preaching the Olivet Discourse at once like Jesus did. We're breaking it down in sections. And so the last thing that we talked about was last week we finished in verse number 14, and we were talking about the general experience of man upon the earth. But now Jesus is going to get into a little more detail. And he says in verse 15, "When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." So we understand here that the reader is to understand the prophecy of Daniel. He said, if you go back to the book of Daniel and you recognize that Daniel spoke about this abomination of desolation. And so first of all, you need to understand what Daniel wrote. But second of all, when you see it, you need to run. You need to flee. And so it's important for us to understand the prophecy that Daniel gave in the book of Daniel in chapter number 9. So let's turn back there to the book of Daniel in chapter number 9. And this is Daniel prophesying. God has given Daniel some insight about what's going to happen in the end days. He tells Daniel about the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. He tells them all about that. He even informs them about the breakdown of the Greek Empire and how that the empire of Alexander Great will be broken into four different sections. God gives Daniel all of that information. You can go back through history and you can see the prophecies that God gave Daniel. You can see how they came about in world history. So here in Daniel chapter number 9, Daniel says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in desolations of Jerusalem." And so this is talking about Daniel understanding that while the children of Israel were in captivity, that captivity should last for 70 years. And Daniel, studying the prophecy of Jeremiah, understood that the time of the captivity was over and it was time for the children of Israel to be released. And Daniel is on his knees and he's praying to God. And if you go through and read all of Daniel chapter number 9, you'll see that Daniel seeks out what will be next. Daniel understands that God keeps his covenant with his people. Daniel understood that when God sent the children of Israel into captivity, that was just. He said this, all who trespass against God deserve a confusion of face, open shame, because they have sinned against God. Daniel then repents. I always think this is interesting about Daniel. He repents not only for his own sin, but for the sins of all the nation of Israel. He seeks for the fury of God to be turned away from Jerusalem according to the righteousness of God. It's interesting, he doesn't claim the righteousness of the people, but he claims the righteousness of God as the reason for the fury of God to be turned away. Daniel seeks forgiveness for Israel, for the people that God has called by his name. And then Daniel receives a visit from the angel Gabriel. And then the angel Gabriel gives him this prophecy of 70 weeks. And that's what Andrew read to you earlier. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So Gabriel tells Daniel that 70 weeks are determined upon the holy people Israel. Now, he tells us also the purpose of those 70 weeks. What's the purpose of those 70 weeks? We find there in that passage, to finish the transgression of the Jews, to make an end of sin. When the 70 weeks of are over, sin is going to be removed from creation. To make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. So the kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be established, the Messiah, and everlasting righteousness is going to reign upon this earth forever and ever. And so Gabriel tells Daniel, this is how God's going to set up Messiah's kingdom. Now, those 70 weeks, and the 70 weeks are something maybe that you don't know a whole lot about. And I've been trying to decide this week how much to talk about Daniel's 70 weeks and the abomination of desolation. And I was talking to Kimberly about it this week, and I was talking to her about the abomination of desolation and how much do we know about the abomination of desolation and when that's going to happen and all of that. And so I'm going to try to be brief. But again, we're talking about the end time events. We're talking about things that's going to happen in the future, about when sin is going to be removed and Messiah the King is going to be set up. So in the prophecy, he says in verse 25, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street will be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And so, the synopsis of the 70 weeks are that the 70 weeks begin with the command to rebuild the temple. And we could go back and tell you, you know, when Ezra and Nehemiah came out of captivity and they went back to Jerusalem and they began to build the wall and they began to build the temple. But from the command to do that until Messiah the priest is going to be 70 weeks. It tells us that time frame is divided up into 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which makes 69 weeks. But after the Messiah comes, it tells us that in verse 26 that the Messiah is going to be cut off, but not for himself. He's going to be cut off for the sake of the people. And so we know the Messiah is going to come, but his time is going to end. Now, this is something that the disciples didn't grasp. This is something that the Jews didn't grasp. When Daniel said Messiah is going to be cut off, what's that mean? Well, they didn't understand, but now we know. What does that mean? When the Messiah is cut off, but not for himself. That is Jesus being crucified on the cross. Right? So from the command to rebuild the temple until Messiah comes and is cut off is going to be 69 weeks. It's actually 490 years, which we'll get into that in just a minute. And then after Messiah is cut off, then it tells us, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And so the people are going to be destroyed. The sanctuary is going to be destroyed. All the holy city is going to be destroyed, and it's going to come with a flood. And he tells us this also. Desolations. There's going to be a war, and desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That prince that shall come, which is, we know, is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to confirm, make a covenant with many for 1 week. So the Antichrist is going to come, and he's going to make a covenant with Israel for 1 week. But in the midst of that week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. So in the middle of that week, the abomination of desolation is going to happen. So this is Daniel speaking a prophecy from God, saying, telling us what's going to be in the end times. 70 weeks. And that 70th week is going to be divided in the middle with the abomination of desolation. He'll cause the sacrifices to cease. Actually, he will set in there, and he will set himself up as God, we learn in Thessalonians. But this is the middle of the week. This is the time of the tribulation. Now, the apostles didn't get it setting on the Mount of Olives. John is going to come later, and he's going to expand upon Daniel's prophecy, and that's going to be to us as the time of the tribulation. But it says 69 weeks and 70 weeks. That's we don't grasp that, because if you ask us what is a week, we would say 7 days. But the Jews, that's the Jews had a different way of determining weeks. You could have weeks of days, you could have weeks of weeks, or you could have weeks of years. Actually, the word that is translated week there is the Hebrew word shabua, which means literally seven. So what he said is 77s are determined upon your people. Again, that was commonly understood by the Jews. They understood what he meant. They could go back to the year of Jubilee and the 49 years and all of that. And they could get it. They could grasp what he meant. They could go back to the time of the captivity and why the captivity has lasted as long as it did. It had to do with their abuse of the Sabbath day. So they understood. But we have to grasp the fact that he's talking about weeks of years. And so that's why when we get to the book of Revelation and we see the time of the tribulation that's coming, we see that it is 7 years. We also know by some other terminology that is used in the book of Revelation to help us understand that. If you want to hold your place in Daniel 9 and Matthew 24, let's go over to the book of Revelation now. And let's just start out with chapter number 13. Revelation chapter number 13, and we will jump down to verse number 12. I'm sorry, verse number 5. And there shall be given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So that same time frame is known as 42 months. Also, it could be, if you look in Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 3. Revelation 11 and verse number 3. It says this. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. If you turn back to Revelation chapter number 12, you see that time frame, Revelation 12:6, and the woman fled in the wilderness where she shall have a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Something interesting I want you to recognize there is that she is the woman, and I'll mention this a little bit later, the woman is protected, supernaturally protected. She is sent to a place that is prepared by God where she shall be protected from the Antichrist. The woman is the nation of Israel. The child that she has, she's with child, and the child that she has is speaking of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice during this time frame, 1,260 days, 1,260 days. If you look down at verse number 14, the same time frame is described another way. And the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time from the face of the serpent. A year and 2 years and a half a year. 3.5 years. So the time in the book of Revelation is given to us in 7 years. This, which is Daniel's 70th week, is what we know as the time of tribulation, and it's given to us in a period of 7 years, it's given us in a period of 1,260 days, and it's given to us as a time, times, and a half time, or 3.5 years. So the 7 years of tribulation is given to us. That's always the terminology that is used in describing Daniel's 70th week is a period of 7 years. And as we go to the book of Revelation, we find that John talks to us about that in terms of 7 years of tribulation. So what the disciples didn't know in Matthew chapter 24 is what happens between the 69th and the 70th week. They didn't understand that there is a time frame in there. It's called the time of the Gentiles. That's not given in Daniel's prophecy. Again, remember, God doesn't give every bit of information. He gives us what He wants us to know. Known unto God are all of His works from the beginning. And so He knows everything that's happening. Listen, He knows every single thing that's happening in your life right now. He's always known. He knows the outcome. He knows the plan that He has to see you through that time. This is one of the great things about understanding the attributes of God and having an understanding of who He is, because it can build our faith. If we understand that He knows all about our lives and He has always known all about our lives and He even knows how He's going to see us through that thing and what the outcome is going to be, it can build our faith. But God didn't give all of the information to the Old Testament saints that there was going to be a time known as the time of the Gentiles. Paul does say this, and it's in Romans 11:25. But for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so when Messiah's got cut off, God's going to have a period of time that's known as the time of the Gentiles. Right now it's 2,022 years long. Well, take away 30. But anyway. But this time that we're living in right now is known as the time of the Gentiles. And there's no way for us to know when that time is going to end. It's a mystery to the Old Testament saints that they were not aware of. But in the New Testament, it's revealed to us that God has cut off Israel and He's grafted in the Gentiles. And we're living in this time known as the time of the Gentiles. It's also in that time frame when the mystery of the gospel is revealed. So we understand the 70 weeks are for Israel. The time of the Gentiles is not given. We don't know how long the time of the Gentiles is going to last. But here's what we know. There is going to be a time when the time of the Gentiles is going to end. That's why we shouldn't be trying to figure out when the time of the Gentiles is going to end. We should just always be ready, doing that which He has called us to do. And so we understand that we're living now in a time that is not in Daniel's prophecy. Daniel's prophecy was intended for the children of Israel. We're not of the children of Israel. We're not Jews. And so the time we're living in now is the time frame between the 69th week and the 70th week. But if you go back to the book of Daniel in chapter number 9, we do get some information in verse 27. He tells us, the prince of the people that shall come, it's talking about the Antichrist, he will make a covenant with many for 1 week. He will make a covenant with the nation of Israel to protect them from the Russian and Arab alliance, which is going to arise in the last days and begin to attack Israel. So he'll make a covenant with them that he will protect them from this Russian-Arab alliance. He will protect them from the wickedness that is going to come. And then, this is the rise of the Antichrist. This is where he begins to make his claim to power. And he defends Israel for a period of time. But then it tells us, in the midst of that, in the middle of that time frame, he's going to cause this abomination of desolation. He will cause the sacrifices to cease. And he will do what's known as the abomination of desolation. Now, some might say that they think that it happened in 70 AD or at another time when something that resembles the abomination of desolation did happen, but it didn't happen in its completion. So it is yet to happen in the future, and that will be when the Antichrist breaks his covenant with Israel, and he will actually turn on Israel, and he shall begin to attack them. Now, with that, I think I should kind of stop here for just a second and give us a broad view of our eschatology. Our broad view of the study of end time events. What do we, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, what is our understanding of end time events? We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We believe Revelation chapter number 4, when John says, come up hither, we believe that is a picture of the saved being taken out of in the rapture. So a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We also believe in the premillennial return of Christ. In other words, before he establishes his millennial kingdom, he will literally return to earth. At the rapture, he will return in the clouds, but in the before the millennial reign, he will literally return to earth. And as we've already kind of stated, between the rapture of the church and the premillennial return of Christ will be the 7 years of tribulation. If you go back to Jeremiah chapter number 30, that's the time known as the time of Jacob's trouble. And we also understand, why is this time of Jacob's trouble? Well, Daniel tells us in Daniel chapter number 9 that the goal and the purpose of this time is to finish the transgression of the Jews and to make an end of sin. Actually, during the time of tribulation, it's going to be when men actually express their utter rejection for God. And so we find out all about that in the book of Revelation. All of when, how the end of sin is going to be made and how Israel is going to finally receive their Messiah. We see all of that in the book of Revelation. And so we go back to Matthew chapter number 24. And again, that was just a very brief overview of our views on end time events. But Jesus says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. So when you see this prince of the people that shall come, and he's made the covenant with Israel for 1 week, and then he performs the abomination of the desolation in the middle of that week, what does he say you ought to do? Flee. Run. Get away. So he's given instructions to the disciples about when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. So when the abomination of desolation that Daniel prophesied, when you see it happen, if you see it happen, you better run to the hills. So this is speaking to those who are living in the time of tribulation. Now, again, there's different views on eschatology. There's different views. Some people would say that we're living in the time of tribulation right now. They would say that the abomination of desolation has already happened, but we know that that's not the case. We know that is still yet to come. Jesus is specifically speaking to the apostles as Jews in their Jewish heritage. And so those who would be present on the earth at the time that this happens can draw instruction from this. In other words, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, you might be alive when the abomination of desolation happens. And what should you do? Flee. But better yet, let's not be present when the abomination of desolation happens. Right? Today is accepted time. Now, today is the day of salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the abomination of desolation happens, you'll not be present. So repent and believe today. That's the best thing. Repent and believe today so you won't have to worry about being present when the abomination of desolation happens. But here's what we know. There are going to be many who will be present. The abomination of desolation happens in the middle of the tribulation. Those who see the abomination will have experienced 3.5 years of the tribulation. And if you go and study the book of Revelation, you know that what they have experienced are the 7 seal judgments and the 7 trumpet judgments. And in that, this is later in my notes, but how severe are those judgments going to be? 1/2 of the world's population will die. So if you just take what we have now, you have 8 billion people. In one of those judgments, it says that 1/3 will die. In another place, it says 1/4 will die. That's 1/2. So in a period of 3.5 years, 4 billion people are going to die. That's the judgment of God upon sin. So he says, flee from the Antichrist. Why flee? Because the Antichrist will be attacking Jews. The Antichrist will make war with the saints, we find in Revelation 13, 7. So when the two witnesses come and they tell the gospel, there's going to be people saved during that time. And the Antichrist is going to make war with them. He wants to destroy all who would worship God. The Antichrist wants to wipe out every bit of knowledge of who God is because he sets himself up to be God. Revelation 6, 9 says, and when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Revelation 12, 14, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time from the face of the serpent. And if you read in verse 21 of Matthew 24, it says, for then shall be great tribulation. So if you're sitting on top of your house, run. Don't go back in your house and get your belongings. Run away from the Antichrist because Zechariah tells us that when the Antichrist attacks Jerusalem, 2/3 of the people living in Jerusalem will die. When the Antichrist begins to attack the city of Jerusalem. And so there's going to be great tribulation, such as was never seen before. Nor never will be. And why is there such great tribulation? Because God is bringing judgment upon sin to put an end to sin. Man has rejected God. They had said, we don't want God to rule over us. They have looked at His Word and said, we don't believe His Word. We want to live our lifestyles how we want to live our lifestyles. We want to do our own thing. God, You can't judge me, they might say. And God's going to say one day, oh, you think I can't judge you? Well, here it comes. And when He brings judgment, it's going to be fiery indignation, the Scripture says. The judgment of God is going to be poured out upon sin. He's utilizing the hatred of Satan to accomplish His purposes. The terror of those days will be great. And if you want to know, go down and read about the seven bowls that's going to happen in the last 3.5 years. About there's going to be grievous sores upon men. The sea is going to become blood. The rivers and the fountains are going to become blood. The sun is going to give power to scorch men with fire. The kingdom of the beast will bring darkness. And it is going to be so severe that men will gnaw their tongues because of pain. The river Euphrates is going to dry up. There's going to be a great earthquake. And all of these things. It's going to be so severe that back in Matthew 24 it tells us, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And that could talk about the sun losing, the sun's going to lose a third of its light, and that could mean the days are shorter. It could mean that He just said, look, I'm going to, you know, kind of stop Satan at a certain spot and say it's sort of enough, enough. There's going to be false Christ present. In other words, when Israel is fleeing, there's something that's going to say, come over here, we'll protect you, or go over there, we'll protect you. You know, don't believe them, don't follow them. They're false antichrist. They're going to be able to perform wonders, it says. They're going to be able to perform such wonders in verse 24 that they could deceive even the very elect. And Jesus is saying, when you see that, don't believe it, because He's going to tell them what it's going to be like when He returns later on. And we understand what it's going to be like when Jesus comes and Satan is cast in the lake of fire and he's bound in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We know what it's going to be like because of what Jesus has said when He literally turns. But there's going to be many who are persuaded to follow false Christ. Then He says in verse 26 or 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even under the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. In other words, when Jesus Christ returns, it's going to be quick. It's going to happen like a lightning flash. Okay? In verse 28, wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. That's a difficult passage to comprehend. It's a difficult passage. I asked Tom Ross, you got any comment for me on Matthew 24, 28? He says, nope. So, well, thanks a lot. But then he gave me a lot more. He suggested that I go and study MacArthur, which I did, which I'll share with you in a minute. He did send me some other things, synopsis of eschatology. If you'd like that, it's got this nice little chart on it, and it's got some other things that if you'd like to have those things, I can provide them to you. But anyway, let me read to you what MacArthur says about Matthew 24, 28. Now that's sort of a little proverb. You see a carcass, you'll see vultures. In Israel and Palestine, they have vultures. They're indigenous to the area. The Greek word is aitos. It means a vulture. Sometimes it's used, they're called eagles, but the word basically has to do with a vulture. And what's going to happen here is simply like that analogy. Where you find a carcass, you have a vulture going in and tearing into that carcass. And that's exactly what the picture is. Christ is going to come as it were a vulture to a dead carcass. The world is going to be so corrupt, so sinfully corrupt, that it lies there as a wretched, sinful, corrupt, decaying carcass to which the Lord will come in judgment to tear and rip and shred that carcass to pieces. Very vivid picture. So I'm going to stop right there. But in this message, Jesus has been very plain with His apostles. What He's actually teaching them, that God has not forsaken His people. He will remove what hinders in the relationship between Israel and God. He will purify His people. That's what the tribulation is all about. They will experience the tribulation and so severe that when Jesus comes, they will receive Him. They will long after Him. They will see the judgment of God has come against their rejection of Jesus. And they will look upon Him whom they have pierced. And they will receive their Messiah. This is what Jesus is telling them. But how is this applicable to us today? Well, like we said in the beginning, known unto God are all of His works from the beginning. So, understand that all of God's works are known to Him. We understand He has a plan for this world, and He's bringing it about. Even, listen, men turning away from God, because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We learned that before, and we look out in the world today, and we see it, right? The love of many people for God is waxing cold. So even this sinfulness of our culture today, it's right here in Scripture. That's the way it's going to be. So if we understand that God has a plan for this world, then we can trust Him in that plan. But those who are rejecting Jesus need to take warning. One day God is going to bring judgment upon sin. All of those who reject Him will experience the wrath of God upon their sin. The time of the tribulation is mainly for the Jews, but no one needs to experience the wrath of God. Call upon the name of the Lord while there is still time. Today is the day of salvation. There is no other way to escape the wrath of God than to call upon Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and put your faith in Him. And that's the only way that you can escape the wrath and judgment of God. But you know, it's also encouraging to us who have called upon the name of the Lord. He's going to bring His wrath upon the unbelievers, but He's going to reward His people. Those that endure unto the end, they're saved. You're going to receive a reward for your faithfulness. So persevere. Push on. Keep trusting. Because the reward is going to be great for those who are faithful to Jesus Christ. He's got a plan. And He's going to be faithful to that plan. And that plan is that He's going to reward His people. So, listen. If you don't know Christ, be warned. But if you do know Christ, be encouraged, because the plan of God is going to take place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day and for the opportunity we had to be in Your house and to learn from Your Word. I pray that You will bless Your Word, and I pray that You would draw Your people unto Yourself and save by Your grace. We thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray.